sorry, I went back to the microphone, but my throat was hurting yesterday. If it's really unbearable to have the microphone, let me know, and we'll adjust. I hope the Zoomers are able to hear, even though I'm using the microphone. Okay, we'll start with some parsha. When we bring Bikurim to Yerushalayim, the Torah tells us that we're supposed to say a passage that's known as the Vidui Ma'isros. And the passage begins with a very difficult phrase. It begins with the phrase Arami Oved Avi. So obviously, whenever you have a cryptic phrase in the Torah, you're going to have some sort of machlokas as to what the phrase exactly means. So Rashi writes exactly what the Haggadah Shel Pesach writes, that it's Lavan Bikesh Lachar Sakol, that Arami Oved Avi is a reference to Lavan, and that Lavan wanted to uproot our nation from Zari inception. The Rosh Hashanah, however, explains the phrase a little bit differently. The Rosh Hashanah writes that the Arami in question is not Lavan, but Terach. And Terach tried to destroy Avi, Avraham Avinu, by bringing him up in an environment full of Avodah Zarah, teaching him all the wrong lessons. And therefore, Arami Oved Avi is how Terach wanted to ruin Avraham Avinu through his upbringing. The Ma'or B'Shemesh, though, explains the pasuk in a third way. The Arami, in the Ma'or B'Shemesh's view, is a play on words, and scrambled, the word reads Ramai, the deceiver, and it's a reference to the Nachash HaKadmoni, who tried to deceive the father of all of mankind, Avi being Adam HaRishon. That Arami, Yodir Avi, that the Nachash HaKadmoni tried to ruin Adam HaRishon by getting him to sin at the very beginning. Now, normally, when we think back to past events and we brag about them, it's appropriate to recall past glory, not to recall past failures. If you make a wonderful proclamation in front of the Kohen that Arami Ovi Avi, presumably we should recall some sort of spiritual victory of an ancestor. I mean, look at the rest of the Vida Maisos. The rest of the Vida Maisos is a very positive statement. It's a statement about how we were extraordinarily successful in fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem, in doing the Dvar Hashem, and in fulfilling all of our requirements. So it's a little bit troubling. According to Rashi and the Rosh Hashanah, yeah, we do just that. And we say that in spite of the best efforts of Lavan and Terach, look how we came out victorious. Yaakov became Yaakov, and Avraham became Avraham, and we were actually victorious over this terrible, terrible threat against our great ancestors. But the Ma'or B'Shemesh's explanation is a little bit difficult. It's more than a little. Why would we bring up the sore topic of Adam HaRishon's sin at such a joyous time when we're bringing Bikurim? It seems totally, totally unnecessary. And not just unnecessary, it seems inappropriate.
They can't hear us that well.
That's very hard to hear on the Zoom? Okay, so I'll
take off
the
mic. I have an idea.
Maybe I'll just, if I move the mic like this, is it better? If I move the mic like this? Maybe I'll have a little bit of assistance from the mic.
Here, maybe I'll put the sound.
You'll put it by the...
keep my sound on.
No, you know what? It's not worth it. I'll just offer it.
No, I thought that this next to the microphone.
I don't think it's worth it. Okay, so hopefully the Zoomers can hear now. I'll just keep this here to keep my mask open a little bit at the bottom. So it seems a little bit strange that we're going to emphasize this idea by Adam HaRishon, you know, at a time of where we're supposed to be declaring victory, so to speak. We're supposed to be saying how things worked out. So that's question number one. Second of all, at the end of the very long Tochacha, we say how all of these punishments in Yisurin are going to rain down upon us because Tachas Asher Lo Avadita Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha U'V'Tuv Levav Merov Kol. We haven't served the Kodesh Baruch Hu with joy. And you have to really ask yourself, you know, the recent trend in our community to Chasidus aside, is that the biggest avera in the whole world? I mean, you know, let's think about this for a moment. You know, what's our heritage here in Yeshiva? We come from Soloveitchiks, no? So Soloveitchiks are not known for their service of Hashem with great, great simcha, you know, with singing and dancing. They're known to be to have a lot of anxiety and to be very nervous about fulfilling the mitzvahs exactly correctly and doing everything exactly properly. We deserve tochacha for that. If you're a brisker who agonizes over the details of every single detail of every mitzvah. So you're gonna suffer the tochacha for such a thing? Why the undue stress on simcha shel mitzvah? And then a third question. The Medrash warns us, relating to the mitzvah of bikurim, asei mitzvah ha'amura b'inyan shebischara tikanes la'aretz. That do this mitzvah of bikurim, it's in the zchar of this mitzvah that you're gonna enter Eretz Yisrael. And normally, when we talk about reward, the way zchar va'onesh works is that you do the mitzvah, then you get the reward for the mitzvah. You first do the good deed, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives zchar for doing the good deed. But when it comes to the mitzvah of bikurim, apparently it's backwards, because it's the zchar of bikurim for which we enter Eretz Yisrael, but that's a catch-22, because you can't actually do Bikurim until you enter Eretz Yisrael. We enter the land as a result of a mitzvah that we have not yet had an obligation to fulfill. So how exactly does that work? How are we supposed to understand the schar of the mitzvah of Bikurim as being what's bringing us into Eretz Yisrael? So Reb Nissen Alpert, Zichron Levracha, one of the outstanding Rosh Yeshiva, Vary Yeshiva, develops and obviously the prime Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein Zechasad of Kodesh Levracha, Rav Nissen Alpert develops the following idea about the theme of this parsha. He distinguishes between entering the land physically and truly appreciating Eretz Yisrael, truly being present in the land of Israel. Physically walking into the land and then conquering and settling it has some significance, but limited significance. There, we know of many people, maybe even some of us, when we spent a summer in Israel in high school. So maybe for some people, it's possible that somewhere along the way, that there were people who were physically in Eretz Yisrael for a summer, but were really nowhere near Eretz Yisrael spiritually and emotionally. That a person can come to Eretz Yisrael and have no connection whatsoever to the spirituality of the land, to the ruchnius of the land. They didn't, such people do not necessarily go to the land of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They go to the land of Ben Yehuda Street, the land of whatever it is that they're going for, of sightseeing, of Eilat, of wherever they want to hang out and enjoy themselves. And that's a very different kind of experience. Once a person demonstrates that his life in Eretz Yisrael, however, is dedicated toward Avodas Hashem with all of his heart and soul, then he is Ba'el Ha'aretz. Then he is really, genuinely in the land of Israel. And the mitzvah of Bikurim gives an opportunity for that kind of demonstration. Because what is the mitzvah of Bikurim? We take the first fruits of the land that we work so hard on, and we dedicate it to the Ribono Shel Olam. The Torah spells the word Tavo as Male, so that it has the same letters as the word Avos. The mitzvah allows us to come into the land in a way that the Avos would have been proud of. So we then go to the Kohen and we state, Higadti Hayom Hashem Elokecha, Ki Vasi Ala Aretz Asher Nishba Hashem Lavaseinu Laseis Lanu. Why would you tell the Kohen about a prior conversation with God? Higadti Hayom Hashem. So Rav Alpert explains that the phrase Higadti means I have demonstrated. The declaration is, through my behavior, I am demonstrating. Through my bringing of Bikurim, I am showing with this joyous parade, and that's what Bikurim is associated with. You have this parade of people bringing Bikurim, that I'm serving God in the land with all of my heart. And he, by demonstrating that, we're demonstrating ki basia la'aretz asher nishba Hashem la'avoseinu la'seislanu. I don't just happen to be here. Eretz Yisrael is not just my geographic location. No, Eretz Yisrael is I've come to la'avoseinu, the land that Hashem promised la'avoseinu la'seislanu, the land that Hashem promised as part of our Mesorah, as part of what it means to be a member of Klal Yisrael, to truly arrive in the land of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov through the demonstration of excitement and commitment. And maybe through this theme we can answer the questions. That's why perhaps Vidur Maisos may begin with the sin of Adam Arishon. The Nisayon that Avraham Avinu faced, that's highlighted by the Rashbam, was that he was raised in a negative environment. He was raised without Torah Mitzvot. He was raised by Terach, who was encouraging him to do Avodah Zarah. The Nisayon of Yaakov Avinu, highlighted by the Agadah Shel Pesach and highlighted by Rashi was one of fending off a known enemy. And those are big challenges, but they really don't represent our greatest challenge, because they challenge what a person does, you know, that don't do avodah zarah, don't, you know, fall prey to the likes of lovin. The challenge of the nachash, though, is a challenge of channeling a person's passion, the delicious fruits, a desire, a drive to do the wrong things, that there's this incredible yetzer hara. And when the challenge is to take your passion and apply it toward the right things, then it's a much more difficult task to step up to the challenge. It's not that passion is the enemy, it's not that excitement is the enemy, it's not that energy is the enemy. All of those things are good. We just have to know where to put it. So when Adam HaRishon was faced with this challenge, he failed. But we bring this up because we're showing that we're correcting the mistake. We're succeeding. Whereas his taiva for the forbidden fruit may have been at a certain madrega, our excitement for mitzvos is at that same madrega. We say a vidoy in the literal sense on the past avera, and we demonstrate clearly with our actions right now that we've corrected that avera through the excitement and the fanfare that come along with the mitzvah of bikurim. We show that we're more excited by lamashal by a mincha minyan than we are by a football game on a Sunday afternoon. That you know, I remember that from high school always, that you know, the games would always start at like 1 o'clock, so it was like first getting exciting, like right around the time of mincha. You know, like if it was an overtime, you know, if it was like a really close, exciting game and there was a timeout every 2 seconds or whatever. So right around the time of mincha, that was the nisayon, right? But is that a nisayon? It shouldn't be a nisayon. I mean, we're excited by our ruchnius, and that's much more exciting to us. It's amazing, you know, particularly with sports. Have any of you seen a game since coronavirus started? Like, seen like a spectator sport? Like, right? It like lost everything. It's mamish like watching a JV basketball game. I mean, there's no one there, and if there's no one there screaming and shouting, then you just realize it's just a bunch of guys playing. I mean, I can't imagine sports surviving. I don't know. I don't know how much, what the numbers are and the ratings and the money lost and whatever. I can't imagine people want to watch that. Because there's no substance to it. There's no, you know, that's where we invested all this excitement, all this energy. So that's the tikkun that we're supposed to do, is that we're supposed to invest that energy and that excitement elsewhere. The Sfas Emes explains that's the message at the end of the Tochcha, when we speak of being Ovid Hashem with a sense of simcha v'tuv levav merov kol. At first glance, the term merov kol seems totally extraneous to the message of the pasuk. Wouldn't it be enough if you just would have said, we have to be happy? Why do we have to wish we have to be happy from all that is good? What do I think? I'm going to be happy from something. What is merov kol? That's from many good, from many all. I don't know. How do you even translate the words? So Sfas Emes explains that we must not only appreciate all that is good, but that our joy in serving Hashem has to be greater than the joy we derive from doing other things in life. We have to be Ovid Hashem with a simcha v'tuv levav that's greater than the simcha v'tuv levav of rov kol. I find simcha in a lot of things. I enjoy going out to a good restaurant, and there's simcha in that. I enjoy watching a game, there's simcha in that. I enjoy a lot of things in life. There are a lot of wonderful things in life. I enjoy nice clothing, there's simcha in that. But the simcha in tuv levav of avodas Hashem has to be a greater simcha v'tuv levav merov kol, says the Sfas Emes. A greater simcha v'tuv levav than anything else. An act of chesed should be more exciting than a successful business deal. Meaning it has to come from a sense of excitement, from a sense of energy. A dvar Torah at the end of the meal should be more delicious than than the dessert that's served at the end of a meal. That the sense of ruchnius that's involved has to be something that comes with a sense of passion. The tocha is essentially midah keneged midah. If we don't make the joy of Judaism our primary joy, then the anguish and the pain of mitzvos will no longer be our primary pain and anguish either. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us other things to worry about. So we're not only required to do the right things, to enter the land of Israel, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through performance of mitzvos, We have to do it in a meaningful way. It's not about what we do only. It's partially, obviously, about what we do, but it's not only about what we do. It's also about how we do it. To enter not just a land, but enter the land of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and to have a simcha shel mitzvah, unlike any other simcha that we have in our lives. And, you know, the question of knowing how to prioritize is one of the key questions, one of the key skills to have in life, to know how to prioritize. You know, take, for example, all the tumult about the restrictions related to corona. You know, so for a while, you heard a lot of screaming about, how could we shut down the economy? How could we shut down minyanim? How could we shut down yeshivas, all the bittul Torah and the bittul tefillah? Well, you know, because some people might get sick, because at some point you have to take risks, you have to live life, you know, you have to tam tiyem Hashem elokecha. People were, you know, theologians all of a sudden, right? Everyone had their... That was the argument at some point. And then what did the argument turn into? Masks are so annoying. A few people will die. I mean, but come on, masks are so annoying. No one's threatening to shut down to shut down tefillah. No one's threatening to shut down Torah learning. No one's it's just masks are so annoying. I mean, where does this come from? What sort of hashkafa is that? That I would sooner let, you know. Look, we're going to have to be annoyed one way or the other. Either it's going to be annoying by coming to the emergency Tehillim gatherings or to getting on the Zoom Tehillim gatherings to daven for the people who are in the ICU, or it'll be annoying because you have to wear a mask and you know, your face is a little sweaty by the end of the day. And that it's going to come from somewhere. But to prioritize our own comfort, to prioritize over. You know, over the most sacred thing that our Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us, so much of life is about priorities. We end up making fatal decisions. If it's not that comfort's not a priority, it is a priority, but how high on the hierarchy of priorities? So much of life is about figuring out what that hierarchy is, and a major part of that is what the theme of the Tocha and the theme of Bikurim is. That to realize there's a lot of things that are very exciting in life. But what's truly worthy of excitement? What's truly worthy of our passion? What's truly worthy of our energy? And that's the, you know, the Tocha has a very negative sound to it, but there's a tremendous amount of positive in the power of knowing what's worth it. The power of simplifying things, which is another experience that we've had. So many of the things, and sports is to me the best example of something that seemed so meaningful and is mamish so meaningless. And like it becomes clear to you. And there's so many other examples of that we've seen. But let's leave it at that for now. Okay.